offertory, the blessing that it was to me. Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And as we review of what we've been going over about growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that in order for us to have a relationship with God, we first have to realize that we're a sinner. We're doomed and damned for eternity without Christ, separated from Him unless we put our faith and trust in Him. And the Spirit of God enters into our heart. And so we realize that in order to have a relationship with God, there are different things that you need to know. You need to know that God is holy and that He won't tolerate sin. We got to realize that God is just and He can't overlook sin. Oh, but He's gracious, so He doesn't ignore the problem. He sent His only begotten Son and that we might have grace. And He's so gracious. Those four things, as we realize that and put our faith and trust in Him, we realize that in order for us to have a relationship with God, we have to have a relationship with the Bible, the Word of God. It is impossible for you to say, well, it's not impossible for you to say, but it is impossible for you to have a relationship with God without having a relationship with God. But it is impossible for you to say, I love God, I want a relationship with God, and think that that saying is going to give you a relationship with God. Or even that desire, maybe a genuine desire, I want to have a relationship with God. But until that you have a relationship with the Bible, you cannot have a relationship with God. And so it starts by that. As we learned in 1 Peter, we learned about the craving of the Word. And we learned as we think of that, that there's the Bible, and then there's belief, and then there is behavior. And what is the connection between all those? The Word of God, let not the Word of God depart out of your mouth. But you need to meditate there in day and night. And so what was the connection? The connection between this morning's preaching and our belief and what we learn and how we behave. The connection is all that it was, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, but meditate, what? Day and night. We have a mental conversation with God's Word to ourselves about God and who He is, but having that continual conversation with Him, a meditation, a mental conversation with God to have that relationship. Many times, we have to read God's Word, we have to study it, we have to, what we're taught in the preaching of God's Word. And we've learned that relationship with the Bible is non-negotiable for growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is non-negotiable no matter what your age is. If you do not have a relationship with the Bible that's growing, you do not have a proper relationship with God. And many times you could say that you don't even have that relationship with God because you don't know Christ as your Savior. Because when the Spirit of God comes into your heart, there will be a craving for the Word. There will be at least a desire. And only I'm saying on the truth of God's Word. It says, as we learned last week in Psalm 1, but His delight, the godly man, the man that belongs to God, his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And then in that law, he does have a mental conversation with God. And then he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. As the Word of God keeps coming, the tree that's planted where God's put you will continue to grow and will strengthen. And when the storms of life come, it won't be blown over. Because the water is filling that tree and making it strong and sturdy, reminding us last week as we looked at it and saying that it's the very God of the universe that plants us. The tree planted. And the whole purpose and expectation of God is by the rivers of water. So no way are you going to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, having a relationship with Him, unless you have a relationship with the Bible. It is non-negotiable. There's negotiable things in our life, but there's many things that are non-negotiable. We all have to eat, don't we? It's non-negotiable. And God's Word is non-negotiable. as far as having a relationship, reading and studying and spending time. And this week, I'm telling you, on the authority of God's Word, if you didn't spend time and have a relationship with His Word this week, your relationship with God suffered. It suffered. Did you know you can read and it can suffer too because you're not having a mental conversation? See, that's the line. That's the connector. That's connecting the dots, having a mental conversation with Him. So why is a relationship with the Bible non-negotiable? We said it's non-negotiable because of His command to have a relationship with God. So why is relationship with the Bible, God's Word, non-negotiable? And I thank you so much for asking me that question. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a message this morning. So as we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me give you the first reason why a relationship with the Bible is non-negotiable. For verse 16, it says, all Scripture... Now, what do you think all means there? You got it. Boy, you are wise this morning. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And literally, if you were to take that literally in the original language and really the language that we have there, it simply says this: all Scripture God breathed. We can have different things that we say we're inspired to do and stuff, but this one where it has even stronger definition of this inspiration. Because the reason why it is non-negotiable, it is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. And theologically, Paul had just noted that Scriptures are able to make one wise to regard salvation. Look what it says in verse 15 or 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. He's talking to Timothy. And has been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. In other words, he had a godly grandmother. He had godly mother, godly people around him. And he says, listen to that which you've learned. And in verse 15 it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's why it's so important to teach your children and saturate them with the Word of God. And he says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And it's through what? For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works lest any man shall boast. And it is all in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is God-breathed. You see, a lesson Timothy had learned long before because of his teaching. Now, Paul wanted to reemphasize to Timothy the role and the crucialness of that role of God's inscripturated revelation in his present ministry, in Timothy's present ministry. Thus, Paul reminded Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed. That is, God's words were given through men superintended or directed, managed, governed by the Holy Spirit so that their writings were without error. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 says, for the prophecy, the word of God, came not in old time, as the talking about the prophets of the Old Testament and the different, came not in old time by the will of man. You see, God's word isn't the will of man, it's the will of God, because it says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see, it says all Scripture is given, is God-breathed. It's not that the men were inspired. It is the words that they wrote was inspired, not the men. They were wicked sinners. But they gave their life to God and God used them and their personalities. Isn't it wonderful that God lets you use your personality? Let me hear about being a bunch of robots going around here. The Word of God was not mechanically given. He gave them and let them on their own, as they were moved by the Spirit of God, each writer wrote with their own personality as God directed them exactly what His will was to write. He did not guard their arm and go like this and No. He moved in their heart the Holy Spirit to write exactly what God wanted to him. It's breathed into by God. And so I believe the Bible is God's Word. And as many years ago, and my doctrinal statement when we were ordained, I put that the Bible is, what I believe is the Bible is God's Word. I believe the Bible is plenary, verbally inspired, God-breathed by the very God of the universe. And by this I mean God superintended human authors so that using their own individual personalities, they composed and recorded without error His revelation to man in the words of the original autographs. The Word of God being the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments from Genesis to Revelations, that the words were God-breathed, not man. And that the only inspired, God-breathed copy are the original autographs. And that God has preserved His words so that we can faithfully say, we have God's Word this morning. You see, the phrase breathed out by God translates a single word. Of course, it's God and breathe. And so when the Bible speaks, guess who speaks? You help me out. When the Bible speaks, since the Word of God is the Word of God, it's God breathed. So when the Bible speaks, who speaks? God speaks. Now can you see why the relationship with the Bible is non-negotiable? When the Bible speaks, God speaks. In fact, the very writings themselves, God-breathedness, they are God's Word. Practically, Scripture is the revelation conveyed. As one man put it, inspiration is the means of that conveyance. So when the words originally revealed and recorded, all Scripture is God's inerrant Word. As another man mentioned, when Paul spoke of all Scripture, he's primarily referring to the Old Testament, then the rest as they were scoped and used and accepted as Scriptures. For the writers wrote from their personal, historical, and cultural context. Although they used their own minds, talents, language, and style, they wrote what God wanted them to write. Scripture is completely trustworthy because God was in control of its writings. Its words are entirely authoritative for our faith and lives. You can have power and not authority, can't you? You can have authority and no power. But God has power and authority. And His Word is the ultimate authority. And that authority is all Scripture is God-breathed. So when the Bible speaks, who speaks? God speaks. That's why God's Word in relationship with His Word is non-negotiable. And you cannot have a relationship with God without a relationship with His Word. Number two, as I see, not only is it God-breathed or inspired, why it's non-negotiable, number two, we see in this passage that it is profitable. Look what it says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This word profitable focuses on the sufficiency of God's written Word. And this profitable, it translates the old idea of it's beneficial, it's fit for use, it's productive. It's paralleled with the Old Testament, Psalm 119 and Joshua 1:8, where this book of the law shall not part out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night and observe to do according that's all written in these books. And so it's the absolute sufficiency of Scripture to meet all the spiritual needs of God's people as we have striving to memorize, according as divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him who has called us, through Him has called us in His virtue, to His glory and virtue. You see, one man put it this way, Scripture is the divine plumb by which every thought, every principle, act, and belief is measured. Scripture is the divine plumb by which every thought, principle, act, and belief is measured. So notice, what is useful? What is profitable? Don't you want to be profitable in this life? Don't sit there and be asleep on me now. You want to be profitable. We want to be useful, don't we? We want to be helpful. And it says here that the Word of God, and not only is it inspired by God, but it's non-negotiable, because that's where we're going to profit. Then what does the Word of God do for us? It profits us in what areas? It profits us, what does it say first of all? In doctrine. This word doctrine is the idea of God's teaching. God wants man to know beyond doubt who he is and who man is, and the beginning and the meaning and the end of all things. He wants us to know, otherwise he wouldn't have given us his word. And he's promised in Isaiah 55 that it will accomplish that which he's intended it to do. And so here, the word of God is profitable to know about God and to know about man. It's profitable and it's by its doctrine, the very teaching of his very person. In other words, this teaching we would not know without God's word. So as one man put it, this doctrine could stand for what is right. In other words, God's word is profitable for what is right. Its content. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So God's word is profitable to teach us what is right. How can we find out what is right unless God shows us that he is that perfect sacrifice, that perfect one, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And so we see that God's word is profitable for the teaching of his very person to show us what's right. Did you know God doesn't ask us to do something that he hasn't already showed us and told us what to do? Because it all pertains to life and godliness through his divine nature. And so here, not only is it God-breathed and inspired, but it is non-negotiable because it's profitable for doctrine, what is right. What is right. And number two, it's profitable for reproof. What is not right. When we are reproved, and when we reprove someone, or we are reproved, we're finding out, really, that wasn't right. The Bible is profitable for reproof. God wants man to sense conviction and to be rebuked when he is disobedient to God's will. The Scripture reveals God's will and the consequences of disobedience to his will. The actual word, as we think of a Hebrew definition of the word reproof, we see that it's an integral part of a brotherly love, as one lexicon puts it. To rebuke, to correct, or the idea is to convince or convict, would also imply to exposure of one's sin, but also a cause to call someone to that repentance. You see, in the Greek, in the New Testament, reproof is many times translated conviction. To rebuke another with such effectual wielding of the victorious arms of truth as to bring him, if not always to confession, yet at least to the conviction of his sin. That's what reproof is. And that's what the Word of God, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Hebrews 4:12. So what does the Word of God do? It's profitable not only to tell us what is right, but to tell us what is not right, that we might, as the Spirit of God convicts us. That word reproof is such a word that has the whole idea of convicting and convincing. In other words, conviction, convicting a person's heart until he senses and knows he's guilty. And convincing and hammering it home and through till he knows the fact of that is true. Well, the words mean to stir a person to prove himself, to put a person under conviction, to lead a person to see his sin and see the guilt over it. That's what the Word of God is. You know, maybe that's why we don't read. We don't like to be told what to do. We don't like to find out what's not right. maybe what I'm doing isn't right. Why would I want to read something that shows me that I'm not doing right? Well, it's the Spirit of God in you. And it says the Word of God is profitable, is beneficial, is fit to use to tell us what is right in His doctrine and to tell us what is not right, that reproof and rebuke. You see, Job tells us the heavens tremble and are astonished at His reproof. And Proverbs tells us that that really chastisement manifests God's love. So how do you respond to reproof in your life? What really determines, you see, how you respond to that reproof really determines who you are and what, and it describes you. It does. How you respond to reproof. How you respond to the Word of God. Okay, God's Word, we've learned that it's non-negotiable. How you respond to the Word of God, and perhaps because you don't have a relationship with the Bible, it's rebuking you. It's the Word of God to tell you what's not right. How you respond to that determines really who you are, and it describes you. There are only two ways, choices to make. You either what? Evade it, ignore it, or embrace that reproof, or include it in your life. You either, as Proverbs 9:8 says, you don't want to get right, or you want to get right. And so as we look at it, that embracing it demands humility and blessing, and it brings learning and a pathway of life. You see, a person that never changes will destroy his life when you never change to rebuke. You see, it's the Word of God that's profitable. And how is it profitable in your life? To teach you what is right. How are you going to know what's right unless you get in God's Word? How are you going to know what's right and it's profitable and useful in your life unless you realize to teach you what's not right? And correct it. Because notice the next verse says, not only is it profitable for doctrine, reproof, but correction. And what would that get? What is proper correction? It's how to get right. In fact, this is a word used many times in Scripture for teaching children. Correction and teaching children. God wants man to be set aright when he's wrong. He doesn't want you to stay wrong. Did you know that? If you would read this word, you realize he does not want you to be wrong. He does not want you to be, he wants you to be right. And so the Word of God corrects us and shows us then how to get right. It's profitable for doctrine, tell us what is right, for reproof, what's not right, and now it's for correction. How to get right. How to get right. It's a restoration to the upright. The meaning is that the Scriptures are so powerful means of reformation, of putting men into the proper condition, regard to morals. In other words, it straightens us out in the area of correction. Even as Scripture tells us, brethren, if a man be overtaken of fall, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering himself, lest thou also be tempted. Think of this, the different ones that God's Word corrected. Adam and Eve, did he correct them? Did they correct him? Word of God? Jacob, Aaron and Miriam, Moses and David and Peter. You see, God's Word will restore us. God's Word will make us right. And so if we stay in God's Word and have that relationship, which is non-negotiable, in that relationship with Him, that the Word of God is profitable for you and for me to show, for doctrine, to tell us what is right. You want to know if that's right? Yeah. Go to the Word. He'll show us that it's profitable for use for what is not right. Reproof. And then there's correction. How to get right. Aren't you glad God's Word doesn't leave us there? Oh, I'm just doomed and damned. He tells us how to get right. He tells you how you can have a relationship with God. How you can receive Him as Lord and personal Savior and He declares you righteous. And then, notice the last part. It's profitable. Why it's non-negotiable is God's Word is profitable. As we see, in the instruction of righteousness. How you'd put that is how to stay right. God teaches us how to stay right. First of all, doctrine. What's right? Reproof. What's not right? Correction. How to get right. And instruction. And again, instruction is having children about children, instructing in children how to stay right. God wants man to know the right things to do, to think, and to say. It's the whole training idea and education of children, the cultivation of our minds and our morals, correcting mistakes, curbing your passions. So our responsibility, since instruction is righteousness, is how to stay right, and this is profitable. We have a responsibility to the Word of God in order for us to be profitable. So what is that for us to stay right? Well, to know the Word of God in Proverbs 1:2, to receive the Word of God in Proverbs 1:3, to hear the Word of God in Proverbs 1:8, and pay attention to it, to seize the Word of God. The word there, seize, in Proverbs 4:13 has the idea of to become strong and let it be your strength, to keep the Word of God, exercise great care over the Word of God, guide it, pay attention to it, revere it, to love the Word of God in Proverbs 12:1. Have a strong emotional attachment to and desire to possess, be obedient to His Word, to apply it, as we see in Proverbs 23:12, and to buy it in Proverbs 23:23. In other words, to get, acquire, create. That is what God's Word is profitable for. So why is the Bible, a relationship with the Bible, non-negotiable? Number one, because the Word of God, the Bible, is inspired of God. It is God-breathed. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. And He speaks to you. He speaks to me. And number two, why it's non-negotiable, because it's profitable, it's useful for doctrine, what is right. For reproof, what is not right. For correction, how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. And thirdly, I see in this passage of Scripture that the man of God, and may I say the man belonging to God, sometimes we see this word man of God, we're thinking, oh, we're thinking of Peter and James and John and Elijah and all the characters of the Bible. No, it's talking about the man that belongs to God. Do you know Christ is your Savior this morning? You're a man or a woman that belongs to God. That's who this is all for. So why is it non-negotiable? Because it's complete. It's God-inspired. It's inspired by God. It's God-breathed. Number two, it's profitable for life. Do you want to be profitable? Then you have a relationship with God, with the Bible. It will show you what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right. It will show you as you practice it and live it. And number three, it is complete. Look what it says, that the man of God, the man that belongs to God, may be perfect or complete, sufficient. God's Word is sufficient. It's capable to meet all things. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In some translations, you might have the word equipped for furnished. And so the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As one commentary said, to be desirous about the Scriptures, we must ask ourselves again and again. Now listen. In what ways are good works being produced through our lives because of our study of the Bible? Look what it says. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, be complete, be sufficient through the equipment that we have in the of the Word of God unto all what? Good works. And the Bible says, for grace you save through faith, it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. No salvation works. Then after you're saved, what's the very next work? It says, we're then His workmanship. We're His artwork, created unto Christ Jesus, unto what? Good works. And so what do we see? That thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the question we need to be asking ourselves, in what ways are these good works being produced through our lives because of our study of God's Word? Don't tell me you study God's Word and know God's Word and apply it to your life and you're not living for Him. Don't tell me you're doing that and you don't even spend time with Him. You see, God's Word really is precious. And you and I need to take it and realize how precious it is for our lives. And having that mental conversation with it. It's non-negotiable. The better we know the Word, the better we are able to live and work for God. It's fitted for our use, this completeness. And so it's practically evidenced, as we see in Psalm 119. It equips people. And so if you'll turn over to Psalm 119, as we read this morning, Psalm 119, and we'll see the practicality of this evidenced. This stanza gives reasons why the psalmist has learned to love God's law and why it's non-negotiable, of which we should love it too. I believe you see here the aftermath for those who love God's Word and meditate on it through His Word, because it says, "Oh, how I love thy law." And he makes that statement. It is my meditation. It's my mental conversation. This is it. I love the law. If I love the law, I am going to have a mental conversation day and night. I'm going to. I'm not going to have someone else do it for me. I'm going to do it. The aftermath of those who love God's Word and meditate on it throughout the day. Verse 98 says, it makes me wiser. This is what God's Word brings to you. It will make you wiser in verse 98. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies. They're ever with me. It will give you insight in verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. It gives me that understanding, that insight. In verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts, because of obedience. It helps me to be disciplined to obey. In verse 101, I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. It helps me make the right decisions to stay committed to the word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. In other words, I'm teachable. It gives me the right appetite to stay in the word. How sweet are thy words unto thy taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. It causes me to hate every false way, as it says at the end of verse 104. You see, it's through God's Word in this passage of Scripture that I have the right desire, we see in verse 97, which manifests my meditation on it. You love it and have the right desire will be manifested by your mental conversation. Because I have the right discernment, wisdom will be manifested by me owning the Word of God. I own the Word of God. I'll have that right discernment. I'll meditate on it. It'll be manifested by meditation on the Word. I have the right detection, which will be manifested by observing God's Word. I have the right discipline by obeying. He that loves me will keep my commandment. I have the right devotion in verse 102, the obedience. Devotion which is manifested by a teachable spirit. Do you have a teachable spirit this morning? I have the right demeanor because my attitude is manifest by what I think about God's promises. What do you think about God's promises this morning? I have the right decisions, and I make the right decisions because of the understanding of God's Word and who He is. You see, the psalmist's intense love for God's Word is exposed here in this passage of Scripture. Because he says, I love the law. It's my meditation. And this genuine intensity of love brings automatically a meditating mindset. Oh, how I love the law. It is my mental conversation all the day long. You love the law? It's complete. Why is it non-negotiable? It's complete, and this is what it's going to do to your life. Do you want to be wiser? You want to have greater insights, understanding, discipline, right appetite to stay in God's Word, to hate every false way? Well, here's a meditating mindset that I would conclude from these verses. That God's Word, my constant companion, initiates wisdom. God's Word, my constant companion, initiates wisdom. And what do we say wisdom is? It's the ability to apply truth to your everyday situation according to the Word of God. That's godly wisdom. To apply the ability to apply truth to your everyday situation according to His will, His Word. So number one, God's Word is my constant companion. It will initiate wisdom, verse 98. Verse 98, God's Word, my mental conversation will illuminate understanding. It will shine, it will give you understanding because the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. God's Word, my obedient conduct, impacts my discernment about God in verse 100. And verse 101, God's Word, in order to keep God's Word, I must refrain from every evil way. You wonder, remember we talked about one of the things that keeps us from even having a craving for God's Word is sin in our life? Our selfishness? So in order, in verse 101, to keep God's Word, I must refrain from every evil way. Verse 102, God's Word, my consistent commitment ignites what He has taught me. God teaches me to not turn from His rules. In 102, in verse 103, God's Word is my sweet taste. This last week, I was able to go away, as many of you know, and spend some time with two friends of mine that we've been knowing each other since we were 4 years old, so we've been friends for 60 years, and so we met in Michigan, and for 3 days went golfing. And you know what else we did? We ate at our favorite places in the area. There's a place called Buscilli's Pizza, the best pizza in the world, according to my taste buds. But you know what else we did? Then, after those days, I went back with Jim Harrison. They had a fundraising golf tournament for Maranatha Baptist University. And they went to and we played a golf tournament there. Aaron came up, and Jim Harrison and his son-in-law came, and the four of us played in this golf tournament. And I was mentioning to them and others, I said, you know, I don't know if I enjoy this tournament, the golf more, or the food, the taste of the food. You know what they do every four holes or five holes, six holes? They had around the course, the course let them bring grills, and they grilled pork. They grilled brats. I mean, we're in Wisconsin, you know. German brats. I'm getting y'all hungry now. Be quiet, Pastor. I'm going to go home and eat. Then some hamburgers and some great grilled chicken sandwiches. And the first stop. Now, this starts at 8:30 and goes to about 1 or 2. You now know why I'm going to have to run a lot this week. Because between that time, I said fooey to anything that I said I wasn't going to do. Fooey to any low carbs or anything. Fooey, fooey, fooey. And the first trip I went, I had a brats. I had a health bar. That helped. And I had water that time. Huh? So I got... Then, few holes later, I go and we come across and I had a chicken sandwich. Overflowing, put all the stuff. I didn't have water that time. Then the last time I had a hamburger, last couple holes we had. It tasted so good. It was sweet to my taste. I enjoyed it so much. What a delight. And I can't help to think. And ask myself the question. Look it down at verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. I have to taste it before I can talk about it. Is the Word of God good to you? Is it sweet to your taste? God's Word is sweet. Is it sweet to your taste? Is it satisfying to that taste so that I can't wait to take it? Did you know something? I'll have to admit, one of the things I was looking forward to that tournament, I knew what they did with all that food. And I couldn't wait. As you can tell, I couldn't wait, and I had it each time. Of course, Aaron, he had five of them, all each one, you know. Folks, the Word of God. Isn't it great how God's Word gives us some practical parallels so we can understand what God expects us, wants for us? That'd be taste. God's Word, be sweet taste. Then honey. Psalm 19 says, honeycomb, honey. Sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Because it's through God's Word that I'll get that understanding, which I'll hate false ways. You know, you don't hate false ways, you just don't have a relationship with God. And we have here the wonderful truth why a relationship with the Bible is non-negotiable. What better reasons than it being God-breathed? And that being profitable to show you what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right, and that it's complete, fit for use, that you are equipped to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who's called you to His glory and His virtue. Won't you, if you don't, learn and strive to have a relationship with God and spend time in His Word? Don't let it be non-negotiable. Don't let it be negotiable in your life. Realize it is God-breathed. God has purposed it to be profitable to our lives, to His children's lives. And He's telling us so we can have a relationship with Him. And it is all we need. It's complete. It's equipped for the use for you to live for Him. And look what it gives us. We can be wise. We can have insight and understanding and disciplined, and we can see God's richest blessings. As we make a commitment and a covenant to God to have a close relationship with God through that relationship with His Word. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank You.